question was asked, how come by Purim we read Megillas Esther and by Hanukkah we don't read the writings of the Maccabees, the stories of the Maccabees? So the truth is that the question really has to be reversed. The question is, why on Purim do we read, not why on Hanukkah don't we read? The Gemara records that when Esther wrote Megillas Esther, she sent to the rabbis and said, let's institute this reading. And the rabbis said, nope, what are you doing? We have our Tanakh. What, you want to add another book? Why should we do that? And Esther said, nope, I feel we should institute the reading of this Megillah. And the Megillah was written with Ruach HaKodesh, but we have other works that were written with Ruach HaKodesh, a form of prophecy, and nonetheless we don't read them. We let them be forgotten with centuries. So the rabbis searched and searched, and they found that when the Torah, when King Solomon discussed writing down works, he said, "Halo katavti lecha shalishim." I've written in sets of three. And the Torah, when it describes the war with Amalek, uses terminology that indicates that there are going to be three places where we mention Amalek. Ketov zot zikaron basefer. Write this, a remembrance, in the book. So the rabbis understood from that. Write this, that's that, right there where it says. Zikaron, a remembrance, is what it says in Dvarim. Basefer, what's the third work that the Torah was referring to? The Torah was alluding to a concept that there will be a third war with Amalek, which will also be recorded in red. So the Torah doesn't overtly say it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't foretell us, you should know, there's centuries down the road when you guys are exiled and you're out in Persia and Mede and Haman arises, you should institute reading Megillas Esther. He didn't overtly say that. And yet he left potential for that understanding in the Torah. And because they found a source in the Torah that could be understood that way, they were willing to go along with Esther. But really, they weren't about to do what Esther said. Initially, they refused the request. She insisted. They looked into it. They found a source for it. They were willing to go along with it. So the real surprise is that on Purim we do read something, not that on Hanukkah we don't. We have to recognize that Purim occurred when we still had prophets. Esther was a prophet. Possibly Mordechai was a prophet. There were still prophets around. The story of Purim that happened a few centuries later, in the middle, story of Hanukkah, thank you, that happened in the middle of the Second Temple, at that point we didn't have prophets anymore. So if some rabbis got together and wrote the story of the Maccabees, which we have to wonder who wrote it. I mean, it's a good question. But let's assume that they were rabbis who wrote it. Nonetheless, it would not have the halachic authority, the halachic status of a work of Tanakh.
Who wrote the Megillat Esther?
Megillat Esther was written, it would seem, by Esther. Esther and the rabbis, but it seems Esther.
Didn't they lose prophecy after the First Temple?
They lost prophecy at the very beginning of the Second Temple. In the period between the First and the Second Temple, we still had the prophet Yirmiyahu for the beginning, Yechezkel, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Baruch ben Neria, and possibly Ezra Sofer, if we would consider him a prophet. New question?
Let's kind of add on.
Okay.
This is about Amalek, what you said.
What I meant when I said three wars is that there are three wars recorded. When the Torah discusses the recording of the war of Amalek, it uses three terms to describe the recording. And we say that indicates that three wars will be written down.